promotional consideration for Growing Greater Philadelphia provided by the Chamber of Commerce for Greater Philadelphia.
This is Growing Greater Philadelphia, bringing you the stories of economic growth, job creation, and business success from across the 11-county community of Northern Delaware, Southern New Jersey, and Southeastern Pennsylvania. Now, here's Matt Gabry.
The energy sector in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware is truly remarkable. Energy companies in Greater Philadelphia lead the way in providing technologically advanced solutions that provide businesses and residents access to safe, reliable, and affordable energy. In fact, the energy expertise we have in this region is so stellar, we often take it for granted, and we even export it. Not only is it heating and lighting our homes and office buildings and shops, the energy capabilities we have in Greater Philadelphia are helping to grow businesses of all types and all sizes. Manufacturers, they're producing products 24/7. Hospital workers are saving lives and preventing illnesses. Researchers, they're working in laboratories to discover life-saving treatments. School teachers and professors are training and educating the next generation of employees. Restaurants, they're preparing exquisite cuisine and everyday meals. Retailers are selling goods and services, and so much more. We rarely think about the energy sources fueling these and other successes and our daily activities. To help bring this energy story to life, we're partnering with our Chamber of Commerce Greater Philadelphia Energy Action Team, also known as GP. We're producing a special series to showcase just how significant the energy sector in this region actually is, how companies large and small are providing the leadership and the know-how, fueling economic growth across our region and across the country. We'll bring you episodes that highlight how microgrids, liquid natural gas, renewables, and more are all coming together to advance the energy story regionally, nationally, and globally. There's no better place to begin this special energy series than with a leader in our region when it comes to energy expertise, and that's with PECO. With deep, proud roots, what was once known as the Philadelphia Electric Company, PECO has evolved and adapted over the decades, and today is the largest electric and natural gas utility in Pennsylvania, serving approximately 1.6 million electric customers and more than 500,000 natural gas customers in southeastern Pennsylvania. We recently connected with PECO President and CEO Mike Innocenzo, and we recorded our conversation with Mike in front of a studio audience of academic, business, and civic leaders, members of our chamber, and we gathered at PECO's headquarters in Philadelphia, where we learned how Mike and his team embraced their role as stewards of the planet, working to protect our natural resources while advancing energy innovation and efficiency. Our candid conversation with Mike provides an inside look at the history and the future of one of the largest energy leaders in the country. So I know many of us gathered in this room can kind of appreciate, at least at a high level, what PECO is, but I'm not sure if the average citizen goes beyond, oh, they're the power company. Mm-hmm. So my question for you is, how do you actually describe what PECO is?
I'd say if we're doing our job well, we're problem preventers.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
So the best problem to solve is the problem that you never have. So obviously, you know, those days that people aren't really thinking about us are actually pretty good days for us. And it's a lot of hard work. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of folks out there working in really difficult conditions to make sure that you don't have to think about us at times.
Right.
We're certainly an energy provider, but I really view us as much more than that. You know, we keep the lights on, we keep the gas flowing. You know, I have some moments at my office, which is in this building, I can look out and I see, you know, a good portion of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have these moments that, you know, either getting in early in the morning or getting in at night and you see all the lights that are on. And it really strikes me is that, you know, we are in every home in this region. You know,
right.
Mark mentioned some of the numbers earlier, 2.1 million customers, several million people and residents. And each and every one of them are turning on their light switch every day or turning on their gas stove or their gas heater every day. So we really are a company that provides comfort, provides necessities, and provides, you know, opportunities to several million people here in the greater Philadelphia region.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very proud when I say that.
Yep.
I'm very proud of what it means to be part of PECO, but I'm also don't take that responsibility for granted. Yes, we are the company that keeps the lights on and the gas flowing, but we have such an obligation and a pride about the commitment that we make to the community that we serve, which goes beyond just keeping the lights on and the gas flowing.
Yeah. And in that spirit, PECO has really evolved over time, certainly over your career, but even going back to, you know, the original days of the Philadelphia Electric Company. Mm-hmm. And you referenced this, you kind of felt this even in June of 88 when you walked in the door mm-hmm. for that first official kind of engagement, if you will, as a young professional. Innovation. I know it's a term we use all the time today, but you felt it even back in June of 88.
Sure.
But innovation, collaboration, community engagement, geographic reach, PECO has continued to evolve kind of constantly over its history. How do those attributes kind of define the PECO of today?
So I was thinking about this conversation we're going to have today. I actually have a book that tells the history of the Philadelphia Electric Company. And our history dates back to 1881.
Wow.
You know, it was the Electric Brush and Light Company, you know, and then the whole description was, you know, how electric lights and the electric power was really started to make its debut, you know, here in this city at the centennial celebration in 1876, just right down the street in Memorial Hall,
yeah.
which is now the Please Touch Museum.
Yeah.
You know, and back then, just having electric lights was innovative.
Yeah.
And then you think about the whole evolving over the 20th century, the electric grid was considered the top engineering invention over the 20th century. Think about computers, you mm-hmm. know, flight, all of those things that happened in the 20th century. The electric power grid was considered the most significant engineering advancement of the 20th century. Today, it's still critical for what we do, but it's changing dramatically. And
right.
in some ways, the power grid that we have today still has its roots back in the early 20th century.
Right.
But that's changing so much. We're going from a one-way power grid to multi-direction. There's the desire to make it cleaner.
Right.
There's a desire to make it more resilient, more efficient,
mm-hmm.
for helping people to use less energy, to become more energy efficient, to be more reliable, to be more resilient, to be more secure.
Right.
We are certainly living in a different world today in terms of safety and security.
Right.
I remember early on in my career, I was working out in one of the suburban regions, and I got a letter in the mail,
mm-hmm.
and it was from a farmer who sent us a letter that said that his lights were out on his farm, and if we could get out there, he'd
right.
really appreciate it.
Right, right.
it just struck me how, you know, today, as soon as the lights are out, I'm getting tweeted all over social media
yeah,
that my
right,
lights are
right.
off, and when are you coming to fix us back on? So just our reliance on energy is so much different. 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, losing power was an inconvenience. Today, it's critical to everything that you do. You know, as I look around the room and so many business leaders, how many of your businesses are tied to your electric power, your gas service, and the impact that we have not only on customers and homes in terms of their comfort, but the economy.
Yeah, right.
It just is so reliant. So
right,
the
right.
innovation about making it more reliable, making it more resilient, providing more choice,
right.
customers changing expectations.
Yeah.
That same customer who sent me a letter
yeah.
30 years ago is now on social media and is now connected with multiple devices,
yeah.
is now doing business with the Amazons of the world and the Googles of the world and doing everything through their phone, and they expect the same out of us.
Right.
You know, they don't expect to write me a letter or pick up the phone and call. They expect to be able to do business with us in different and creative ways.
Right. That farmer is probably producing in a much higher and more efficient way, the same way PECO is.
His business is changing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things I want folks to appreciate, and maybe we all do already, but PECO is and always has been an economic development driver, and not just with creating jobs, obviously, for PECO, but for helping to attract businesses to come to southeastern Pennsylvania and to the greater Philadelphia region. And we work really closely with Phil Eastman of PECO's Economic Development Office on this kind of work. And frankly, we, but mostly PECO, does this with all of the counties, including Philadelphia County and the surrounding Pennsylvania counties. They're intimately involved in helping to plan that kind of growth for companies, because a company can't land here if they don't have the infrastructure and the access to that kind of energy. And where I'm going with this, Mike, is I was hoping you could expand a little bit on that commitment to growth in the region as you guys are thinking about innovation.
Sure.
And planning strategically for the future of how that is part of your leadership at PECO with your team.
Sure. I'll actually touch on the piece you talked about first about the job creation, because
yeah.
I think that's an important part of it, is we have become a growth part of our company where we're making more investments into the infrastructure than at any time in my career. So the investments that we're making to make the grid more safe, more reliable, more secure, make it attractive towards new investments coming in there, those provide significant opportunities. So not only are they jobs for PECO employees, they are jobs for our partners. There are the suppliers that we do. So one of the things that we really take very, very seriously is making sure that this economic opportunity is one that is shared by the region. So we take a lot of pride in investing locally. As we talk about our service partners that we do work with, our suppliers, investing in diverse businesses. You know, the Philadelphia region, as we all know, is a great place to live and work, but has challenges. And we have disparity across our region. We have areas that are doing really well, and we have areas that have been left behind. And we really do feel that we have an obligation to making sure that the opportunities that have been created for PECO by our customers are then shared back with the region. So providing workforce development and development opportunities for the underserved communities that we serve, making sure that we're investing wherever we can to try to find local investment opportunities so they can share in this opportunity. And I think that, you know, the next part of your question was around attracting business. But that feels like the blocking and tackling before you can get to the trick plays as you get later. I think the, you know, the attracting the external businesses and the, you know, and the Amazons and others of the world, I mean, that certainly is a headliner, but I think taking care of the home front and making sure that we have a really thriving, active community and commodity is the first step of that. You know, nobody wants to come to a region that isn't thriving, that doesn't have jobs, that doesn't have a great talent pool. And so I think all of us have an obligation of really doing the things that we need to do on the local front that becomes that ground game before you can get to the aerial game at the end.
And Mike, I want to drill down on that for a moment because I think it's an important distinction. And I'll use you, and I had a privilege to meet your colleague, John McDonald, earlier, a proud judge grad who's also an engineer. You guys have kind of grown up in PECO together. But you guys are both engineers. But you also have a commitment, to your point a moment ago, of creating jobs for those who have more of the trade and technical skills that are actually the foundation for a lot of the work PECO does. And I know you have a great program with the Williamson School and with the Delaware County Community College, and ensuring that those who maybe college track isn't the right path for them, but they have access to great jobs like you offer here at PECO. And it's an investment that your team is making.
Well, it's an investment that we're making, and it's really part of not missing the opportunity that this kind of moment in time and this opportunity to invest in, and it's not just our company, but it's, you know, it's the entire energy industry. It is a changing time for the energy industry, whether you talk about gas, whether you talk about electric, whether you talk about solar and renewable jobs, whether you talk about all of the technology that's required to make the grid safe. There's a tremendous opportunity. A lot of those jobs and a lot of those trades can be, they're great jobs. They can lead to generationally changing wealth. You know, we have a lot of our employees that were able to come here with a high school education and are sending, you know, multiple kids to college because they've been able to really change the trajectory of their families. So it really is important to us. So we do have relationships with community colleges, with, as you mentioned, Williamson Trade School is another one, but all of the county community colleges. We do work with the Philadelphia OIC, the Philadelphia Energy Authority. We've made contributions to them to train in new energy jobs. And then we do a lot of just trying to expose, you know, the first step towards a job in the industry, and just to be aware that this job exists. And, you know, I didn't know what an engineer was until my high school guidance counselor said, you know, you're good at science and math. And what we find is we go to the, some of these communities is folks don't even know that some of these jobs exist and that what it takes to get them. And that's what we're really trying to do is meet with some of the kids while they're in grammar school, while they're in high school, let them know that these jobs exist. And maybe if college isn't the career path that you want to take or that's for you, there's a really other good path that you need to take. But it's still, you got to show up for school every day. You got to take your schoolwork seriously. There's some things that we can do to prepare you and make you ready and inspire you to do those things that you need to do because there's a really good opportunity for you at the end of it.
So we know PECO is much more than just the electric company. And we'll learn from Mike how he and his team at PECO are all about delivering solutions. But first, let's thank one of the companies that makes this program possible, PNC Bank. For more than 160 years, PNC has been providing the service and expertise to help their clients meet their financial goals. And the people of PNC support not only their customers, but their communities, their fellow employees, and their shareholders too. At PNC, they have the tools to help you bank when and where you want. Learn more at PNC.com. We'll be back with more of our exclusive conversation with PICO President and CEO Mike Innocenzo in just a moment.
With a gross regional product of $420 billion, Greater Philadelphia is in the top three among all metropolitan areas of the northeastern United States. To learn more about the regional economy, visit SelectGreaterPHL.com.
The only Augustinian Catholic University in the nation, Villanova values a personalized experience where teachers and students are partners in learning and scholarly inquiry. Learn more about Villanova University at villanova.edu.
This segment of Growing Greater Philadelphia is brought to you by The Precisionists, a proud investor of Select Greater Philadelphia Council. The Precisionists is an IT and business services company that will create over 10,000 jobs for individuals with developmental disabilities like autism by the year 2025. Learn about us at theprecisionists.com.
Business attraction organization whose mission is to grow the economic vibrancy of our collective community by attracting new businesses and new jobs to our region. Learn more at SelectGreaterPHL.com.
Welcome back to our conversation with PICO President and CEO Mike Innocenzo, recorded in front of a live studio audience at PICO's headquarters. Now, before the break, we learned how the history of PICO has transformed. Today, PICO is an incredible driver of regional economic growth, providing residents and businesses of all sizes access to safe, reliable, and affordable energy. Here, Mike shares his view on how we as a community can continue to advance success in our region.
One, I think there's a lot of things that are going really well.
Yeah.
And I think the collaboration that you talked about was certainly a huge part of that, because I think, you know, sometimes we can dwell on all the stuff that we don't have, and then when you really look under the hood, we got a lot of assets already, and sometimes it's just connecting the right folks together. Again, some similar to what you talked about earlier with attracting folks to our area. But I do think there is some opportunities in what is missing, and if you look at and towards the end of, you know, what is the end game? And if the end game is, look, we have to be, climate change is real, and not only is it going to impact us, it's impacting us today as we're seeing more severe impacts for weather. We have to be able to address that. Technology is changing, and that can be both an opportunity and it can also be a challenge. Customer expectations are changing. So for me, you know, the technology is there, you know, obviously the weather is there. For us and for our line of business, there really needs to be more thoughtful policy around kind of energy policy and enabling some of the things that we talked about and enable the role that we play. We are very active in trying to change some legislation and to help us play a bigger role, things like more cleaner power in the energy stack. Mm-hmm. You know, I think more carbon-free energy is something, and use of renewables is really important. I think the role that we can play as the utility is important for that. Electrification of the transportation fleet. You know, if you talk about emitters of carbon into the atmosphere, certainly the energy industry is one, and we've been very aggressive in trying to clean that stack, as we mentioned earlier.
Yep.
But the transportation sector is a big part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the electrification of the transportation sector, and there's a lot of barriers towards that happening, so we're trying to work some areas that we can make access to charging stations, benefits to customers who decide to use electric vehicles.
Right.
We talked about access to solar, expansion of the gas infrastructure.
Hmm.
It's been a revolution back with the Marcellus Shale. We in Pennsylvania sit on one of the largest deposits of clean burning natural gas in the world, but yet we have customers in our region that don't have access to it.
Right.
So being able to expand the gas infrastructure so that, we not only can have access to it for residences, but we can use that to drive the economy. There's a lot of products and services that provide access to natural gas. Energy efficiency, helping to drive incentives to make investments for people to use not only cleaner energy, but less of it, if we can be more efficient on what we use.
Yeah, let's make it easy for people to do that.
You know, and the last one's a little bit more subtle, and it's really around, and it's really kind of how our industry was, and our whole regulatory model was developed, and it's really around social equity. And for me, it is around technology and investment in technology and these products and services and customer opportunities. They shouldn't be for the folks that can just afford them.
Right.
They really should be basic levels of services that all of our customers can benefit from and enjoy. And I think, you know, we are in a unique position to help to, as, along with others, to help provide that. So it's really around some policy change that helps us get to that in a smart and thoughtful way. And I will say, you know, it's, you say what's kind of missing or what's holding us back. I will say we're very fortunate in our service territory between the regulatory front and the legislative and the policymakers. I think we have a very, you know, a thoughtful and engaged group of leaders that are working that with us as we speak.
Yeah, and I want to talk a little bit more about that, but I love your touch point on inclusion, regardless of a person's zip code or ethnicity or financial place in our society. They should have access to all the technology that everybody has access to.
Correct.
As well. And I think that's a really, to your point, subtle but super important distinction that we shouldn't take for granted and we shouldn't forget about. You know, PECO is often, at least in my mind, considered to be the ultimate collaborator. People are coming at you all the time to help and to work on projects, as we were talking about before, that kind of solution-oriented approach. And many of us may recognize that our Chamber of Commerce for Greater Philadelphia has several action teams. PECO might be represented on all of them, but I know their favorite is the Greater Philadelphia Energy Action Team. And you're collaborating with a bunch of other business and civic and academic leaders in that energy space to bring about some of the change that you were just referencing. And I was hoping you could expand a little bit on the role that your team, that you and PECO is playing with the Chamber's GPEAT operation.
Yeah, it is something, you know, we do feel that we play an important role, and I think we are on every team.
Yeah, right.
Based on the roster. I want to just tell a little bit of a story of an example of a project that we had that I think sort of illustrates it a little bit better for me about what it looks like and what's the so what of it. Hey, so you're promoting energy, you know, you're promoting clean energy, you're involved with a lot of economic, you know, so what? Why should anybody care? And, you know,
right.
I'll use the, you know, the one example of a project that we just recently worked with, and it was down in Chester, and it was the Kimberly-Clark plant. And I just think it's an example of the role that the chamber plays. It's the role that collaboration. So the story is Kimberly-Clark has a cogeneration facility. Kimberly-Clark has multiple plants around the United States and had a decision to make an investment to either reinvest in this generation plant, which was an oil burning plant, was old and polluting and not efficient.
Right.
Or they could make a significant investment in a new natural gas plant that would provide power to their facility, but it required a lot of things to happen.
Right.
And it required, first of all, it required Kimberly-Clark to decide that they wanted to make an investment here in Chester versus picking up shop and moving it somewhere else in the country. It required a lot of natural gas, which does not exist in that area. So there was a partnership with New Jersey Natural Resources, the Adelphia Gateway Pipeline, to actually reverse the flow of an existing pipeline that was flowing out one direction to flow back with natural gas, repurpose the pipeline, add a lot of compressor stations on it, and it required a pipeline extension for PECO.
Right.
And kind of the so what of it is and the why it's important is, you know, it required approval from the Kimberly-Clark and their board and a timeline for that. It required us to have an agreement with the pipeline company and to sign agreements with that. It required federal regulatory approval. You know, and each and every one of these pieces could have very easily fallen apart. In and of itself, none of the three projects would work on their own. You could have walked away from any of the three projects and nobody, no, none of our individual company boards would have thought any less of it because in and of themselves, they were not economic and they were not valuable. But through a lot of great efforts, so Phil Eastman is here in the room, he's one of the teams, yourself and your team that worked very hard with it, pulled all the parties together, and it felt like it was, you know, the guy, you know, the old guy on the variety show with the spinning plates on the,
yeah,
you know,
right,
trying to keep them all
right,
moving. But at the end of the day, we were able to get the deal done. We had a groundbreaking of it in the fall. And the so what of the story is that 600 jobs
that's
in the
right,
city of Chester that are saved, that will be committed to the city of Chester for, you know, the next 10, 20, or 30 years. So I think, you know, our role on the various committees that promote development in this region and coordination and partnership. That's the why it's important.
You know, absolutely.
There are 600 families that have jobs because of all of that coordination and collaboration.
That's right. It's a huge so what when you think about 600 jobs being saved in Chester, Delaware County, which needs to be lifted and continues to need to be lifted. And it wouldn't have gotten done without. It comes back to that innovative, creative, solution-oriented approach that everybody at PECO takes, mm-hmm. to your point. Folks, we have time for questions from the floor. If you have a question, if you could raise your hand, and Tony is going to come over and provide you with a mic so you can ask a question, and we'll go from there.
Sure. First of all, thank you very much. Very insightful, and thanks for what you do in the veteran community as well. Norm was on our veteran Shark Tank a couple of years ago, so it's great to see him. So question for you. Alex Archowski, I'm with Sales Evolution, but also I'm here with on the veteran space, helping Philadelphia become a great destination for vets.
Yeah.
And I know PECO and Comcast, great leaders out there. So one of the things was really insightful what you said. Two things is, you know, firefighters and first responders, how you guys started the business of going into it. But one of the stories that we don't hear a lot is a lot of the crisis that you guys work with, like natural disasters and everything. And the community doesn't really know this. So in the sense of, what does PECO really do? It feels like there's two sides of the business. The engineering side, and then there's also the, how do you do first responding for natural disasters?
Yeah.
I think it's an amazing story, which really the community does not know. And also, it could help with recruiting.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, there's amazing stories about logistics, management of people at the last minute. It's almost like the National Guard being deployed for natural disasters. So can you elaborate a little bit on that, of the collaboration and how your office works like that?
Sure. You know, obviously, when a natural disaster hits, whether it's extreme heat, extreme cold, or especially extreme storms or emergencies, it impacts the energy infrastructure. And if the energy infrastructure is down, it affects everybody. So we have a long history of, you know, not only responding to storms and emergencies in our areas, but of collaboration with the industry. You know, the example I'll give is, well, I'll give two examples. One is when Hurricane Sandy hit here. You know, that was one that affected the entire East Coast. There were probably 8 million customers that were impacted on the entire Mid-Atlantic East Coast region. We were able to bring resources from as far away as Arizona, New Mexico, Canada to come in and provide relief. And similarly, for us, when we go elsewhere, as everybody is aware of, Puerto Rico suffered a significant disaster with the hurricane that hit there a year and a half ago. We ended up sending crews from all four of our Exelon utility companies, ourselves, PECO, Baltimore Gas and Electric, PHI, and Commonwealth Edison, all sent a contingent that went there. But it's one thing when you're helping your neighbor utility here in the United States. We get in the trucks and we drive, and there's a lot of support that happens for that. You know, there's no easy way to get to Puerto Rico, so you've got to load up trucks on barges, materials, equipment. You have to fly the personnel there. But your comment to me, there's a couple of things there. There's the whole logistics. You know, it is, when you think about a response to a major disaster, it's almost like a military operation.
Yeah.
It is almost like when you think about the logistics for the care and feeding of the first responders, but also the care and feeding of the customers and the impacted residents, that you've got to coordinate with police, fire, community organizations. I mean, it becomes a military type of an operation. And then there's the people piece. So you think about the mentality of the folks that are doing that work. You know, in some cases, folks have left their homes to go put lights on and restore to other people when their own home is destroyed. So we have our employees that are, you know, leaving their families behind in the dark when there's damage to their own homes to go to put the lights on, because that's, you know, that's their duty.
There's so much more to this conversation with Mike and Incenzo of PECO. Check out our full interview, 1210WPHT.com/select, or anywhere you get your podcasts. Growing Greater Philadelphia is presented by Select Greater Philadelphia, a council of our Chamber of Commerce for Greater Philadelphia. Select is the business attraction organization for Northern Delaware, Southern New Jersey, and Southeastern Pennsylvania, and helps to grow the economic vibrancy of our collective community by attracting new businesses and new jobs to our region. Special thanks to our program producers, Elena Carmazin and Mari Celuarez, along with the marketing and creative services professionals at our chamber and at Entercom. Learn more at selectgreaterphl.com and tune in to our Growing Greater Philadelphia podcasts anytime at 1210 WPHT.com/select.
Liberty Property Trust has been creating environments that help businesses realize their full potential for nearly 50 years. To learn about the Philadelphia Navy Yard or other Liberty properties, visit libertyproperty.com or call 215-568-4100.
NBC 10 and Select Greater Philadelphia are proud to partner on the growing Greater Philadelphia television program. Watch stories of economic development and business success from across the 11 counties of Northern Delaware, Southern New Jersey, and Southeastern Pennsylvania at NBCPhiladelphia.com/news/Growing Greater Philadelphia.
This segment of Growing Greater Philadelphia is brought to you by Associated Builders and Contractors of Eastern Pennsylvania, a proud investor of Select Greater Philadelphia Council. This is Joe Perpelia, President and CEO of ABC Eastern. We represent more than 14,000 Merritt Construction employees who work for our almost 500 member companies here in the Greater Philadelphia area. Learn more about us at abceastpa.org.
Cullen Art specializes in innovative and exceptional dining solutions for organizations large and small. From the Fortune 500 to education to healthcare and cultural institutions around Greater Philadelphia, the country, and the world. The Cullen Art team is driven by their key focus areas: food, wellness, people, sustainability, and innovative dining solutions. Learn more at CullenArtGroup.com or call Paul Rennie at 610-420-0774. 610-420-0774.
It seems everyone wants to make Greater Philadelphia their home. Did you know that Philadelphia is ranked by the Huffington Post as one of the top 10 cities to relocate to in the U.S.? For more information on Philadelphia's rankings, visit SelectGreaterPHL.com.